Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a Tuesday. It's the Radio Northwest Network, and it's my pleasure to be with you. And now we have the deadliest fire in U.S. history in Maui. And Northwest communities under evacuation orders from wildfires. What has put us in this spot, and how do we get out of it? There are actually some sensible solutions, and even some that might even involve making money and making jobs. That we talk about it with Dr. Bob Zybeck, who's a forest scientist. You've heard him on the program before, president of Northwest Maps Company and author of The Great Fires, Indian Burning and the Catastrophic Forest Fire Patterns of the Oregon Coast Range. Doctor, welcome back.
Hi, Lars. Good to be back.
I want to get your take initially about what happened in Maui, because we're now starting to see not just where the blame may go to power lines or other conditions like that, but almost everybody on the left politically says, oh, this is all about climate change. This is something that's come on us because human beings use too many fossil fuels. Any truth to that?
None. It's got nothing to do with climate change, everything to do with housing, exotic weeds in the case of Hawaii, which is similar to paradise and similar to the Almeida Drive fire, in that weeds and housing that was very close together formed the primary fuels, and in all three cases were deadly. People died because of the speed in which the fire moved.
Well, and weeds in the case, I know when people hear weeds, they say, well, everybody has weeds, but is it worse in places like Maui? Because as I understand, that used to be a big area for growing sugar cane, and then sugar cane has gone away to a large extent, and as a result, there's a bunch of land that's not very well tended, but it could be, couldn't it?
Yep, and it's the same thing. Almeida Drive was weeds. They created a greenway, and it grew up in blackberries, and those blackberries are real volatile when they die and form kind of a canopy, and that's what happened there. A lot of trailer houses and a lot of weeds in Hawaii. It was weeds that grew up in the agricultural areas that had been abandoned or converted to housing, and then the housing is essentially dead trees. It's dried lumber that's built the houses, and if they're close together, there's no way to make them fire safe. Each house is fuel for the adjacent house.
And is part of the problem that in Lahaina especially, they called the place historic. It had a lot of buildings that went back before modern building codes. If they had said, well, even without building codes, we have to do something to keep these houses, if one catches fire, from spreading to the next one. This was all foreseeable and preventable. Am I wrong?
No, that's exactly right. When we find a wind will whip up in different directions. Here in Western Oregon, it's from the east, and Hawaii, I'm guessing it might be from any direction. But when weeds and fuels, volatile fuels, are adjacent to flammable buildings where people live, it's a risk, and we're seeing the results of that risk.
Now, what about the Northwest communities? We've got a bunch of communities that have now been, you know, they've gone to evacuation, mandatory evacuation. Are those also evidence that we're not managing the forests and the wildlands very well, and we could be?
We're doing a terrible job there. These fires were predictable for the last 30 years. If we look at the flat fire right now, the heat isn't a real problem. It means the fuels build cleaner and faster. But if a wind comes up, if a Chetco wind comes up, an east wind comes up, we're asking for another Silver Complex or Chetco bar fire, just a real disaster. And the way we can tell that is the flat fire, it's well contained at about 33,000 acres. That used to be called a major fire 20 years ago. Now it's got to be 100,000 acres to be a major fire. But you look at the photos, and it's completely surrounded by snags from earlier fires. So these fires are just fueling future fires, just like the Tillamook fires in the 1930s and 40s did. And it wasn't until we removed the snags, took out the fuels, and actively managed that land that we were able to create Tillamook Forest. And we've got the same problem in Curry County. They're just allowing the snags to remain in place and fuel the next fire. And it's been going on since 1987.
I'm talking to Dr. Bob Zybeck, who's a forest scientist and the president of Northwest Maps. The other thing is they don't just allow the snags to stay there. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the greenie groups, say, no, you will not go in and salvage log. No, you will not take down those snags. That's part of Mother Nature. We have to leave it there. And they insist on leaving it there and not clearing the fuel and not replanting. I've seen that demand a number of times. And they could actually do that and maybe even make the money to pay the cost of doing the replanting, couldn't they?
Sure. We did that for 30 or 40 years. When we studied the Tillamook, we figured out if we salvage this material, we're making money, we're paying taxes, we're training people, we're keeping access roads open. And so from 52 until 87, we had one major fire, one fire in excess of 10,000 acres in western Oregon. Now we have a fire that big right now that we're holding and calling contained or 56% contained. So it's a problem that's become exacerbated through mismanagement of our federal lands specifically, but now that's being transferred over to our private and state lands as well. The Elliott State Forest is they have no plan to harvest any snags. So it's just asking for a disaster at some future point.
And by the way, the Elliott State Forest is an issue you've been dogging for a long time. Correct me if I'm wrong. That forest used to spin off tens of millions of dollars for schools in Oregon. It now spins off no money. It just costs money. And yet nothing has changed. The trees are still there to make the money from. It's just the attitude about logging has changed. And they say, we don't want to log. We don't want to make money from the Elliott Forest. We just want to set it up, I guess, to burn down at some point.
It's really sad. There's 400 jobs that should be going on there. It produced tens of millions for our schools. It was created as our first state forest specifically to fund our schools. And now taxpayers are paying for lawyers and researchers, I'm going to put quotes around it, to let it lie fallow and develop into an increasing wildfire risk. It's burnt severely several times, and now they've got somebody counting tree rings and saying that that's her fire history, whereas Jerry Phillips and myself and other people have developed really detailed fire histories showing exactly what the risk is to the communities to the west of Elliott. And yet they're growing snags there just like on the federal lands.
You know, Dr. Zybak, you may have better numbers than I, but the last time I looked up the average fires in the last 10 or 20 years, it comes out to about 500,000 acres in Oregon a year and 500,000 in Washington. I believe that's the number. And then when we have a big fire year, we get 1 million acres burned. That is compared to the 35 years you talked about where we had one fire bigger than 10,000 acres and nothing else in the way of major fires for 35 years?
Yep. Yep. With Labor Day fires, we had nearly 1 million acres burn at one point. The Tillamook fires every 6 years were burning 100,000 to 300,000 acres, and those were the lone event. But from 52 to 87, one fire in excess of 10,000 acres. The others were put out, maintained, managed, and lots of jobs, and our communities and schools and parks were doing very well.
Well, for your lips to the politicians' ears, because somebody has to change the thinking on this. Otherwise, it won't be global warming. It'll just be our fire. Our forests are going to burn on a regular basis. Every year, we're going to lose 500,000 acres, and then we're not going to go in and clear it off and get the fuels out and salvage what we can. We're just going to set it up for the next fire. Dr. Bob Zybak is a forest scientist. We're glad to call on him. I wish we had more forest scientists like that right now. And maybe if we did, and some of that thinking in politicians in the Northwest, we'd stop these fires. Instead, it's just become a regular occurrence, and they always blame it on global warming. Back in a moment, Kamala Harris coming to Seattle, and she's going to talk about something she's an expert in, inflation. I'll get to that and our calls, including a naysayer caller.